All right, so the season is winding down. What have we learned so far? The Warriors could be in trouble as they make their way into the postseason without Steph Curry. James Harden, he's a Sixer, but when will we actually see Ben Simmons on the floor? And the Lakers, what really happened this season? What happened? All that and more coming up on 94 Feet.
I think during that stretch it was more James, than them. So, it's just a tough night.
March Madness is upon us. March Madness, guys. The NBA playoffs are just around the corner. And the best part of all, the warm weather is slowly approaching. An emphasis on the word slowly. Why? Because it has been a rather cold month of March here in the Northeast. I can't speak for anybody, but I am ready for spring. I'll speak for myself. I'm ready for it. Hey, how you guys doing, man? Welcome on into 94 Feet. This is your host, B.O.D., here with you guys. I know it has been a long time since I've been on here with you. And I got one answer to that. Life. Things have been very busy on this end, but I'm happy to be back here with you guys. I hope everybody's doing well. As I mentioned, tomorrow we are moving into the month of April. I cannot believe it. I'm very excited. And like I said, it's my favorite time of the year. March Madness, NBA playoffs. It just does not get any better. So it's been a while, but we're not switching things up. We're keeping it like we always do, moving right into what's on my mind. The first thing that I wanted to talk with you guys about here is Stephen Curry, okay? The Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry goes down with a bad ankle sprain 2 weeks ago against the Celtics. He is expected to be out at least to the start of the playoffs. I believe that he has an evaluation tomorrow. How concerned should the Warriors be? All right. For me, myself, I'm concerned. I'll just go ahead and spit it right out. I'm concerned. And it's due to one aspect only. And you know what I'm going to say? Chemistry. We can make this argument, I believe. We can make this for the Warriors. We can make this for the Sixers. We can make this for the Nets. And don't get me wrong. We understand and we know the greatness of guys like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Joel Embiid. We know them. We know these guys are great. All right? But to me, greatness is no substitute for chemistry. It's not a substitute. Greatness will win you games and probably even get you a couple blowout wins. It's exciting. Fans love it. People get to cheering and hooray, and we love it. We enjoy it. But it's knowing guys' tendencies. It's knowing how each player flourishes the most. It's knowing where guys are going to be on the floor. That's chemistry. And chemistry is really what wins the games in the final minutes. Chemistry can only come by playing with one another. And neither one of these three teams that I just mentioned, Warriors, Sixers, and Nets, have really been with each other for a good portion of the season. So that really is my major concern. And I believe head coach Steve Kerr has had quite the assignment, trying to reacclimate guys like Klay Thompson, Draymond Green into the rotation. I think both have had moments where they've shined and they've had moments where they haven't looked so good. We heard Draymond earlier this week speaking to the media about that the team gets worse when I'm out there on the floor. I just kind of being real about some of the struggles that they've been going through. Draymond has been going, I believe, since January with a back injury. Klay has only been back for about 2 months. Again, coming off two major injuries, one to the knee and the other one to the Achilles. It's tough. So that really is my major concern with the Warriors. Like I said, it's chemistry, man. Chemistry. We know how great they are, but again, it's just, there's just certain things that you know about your guys. As you guys play, there's certain things that you know about players, certain tendencies, where guys are going to be. That's just playing with one another, learning habits, learning, it's a feel for the game. And that's the thing. It's not really something that can be studied when you talk about chemistry. You just know it. Either you know it or you don't. So that's my biggest concern. Same thing with the Nets. I mean, obviously they're super talented, but they haven't been together that long. Same thing with Philadelphia. We could say the same thing. I mean, and they got rid of not only just a star, but they also got rid of a couple of role players who played some pretty big minutes for them, you know, throughout the first half of the season. So, you know, we will definitely see, you know, what the Warriors decide to do. Moving on to my second point. James Harden and the Ben Simmons trade. Now, I know it's been a little while. So we're about, what, a month and a half since this has officially gone down, because they both were traded. I believe it was February 16th. It was that Thursday, right at the trade deadline. The Nets and the Sixers pulled a deal. James Harden and Paul Millsap to the Sixers. Ben Simmons, Andre Drummond, Seth Curry to the Nets. Okay? Here's where I'm at on it. As far as who got the better end of this deal, all right? And if I'm speaking just off of today, I'll pretty much just tell you I really don't know. Based off of what we've seen so far, James Harden hasn't looked the greatest, and Ben Simmons, we haven't seen him on a basketball court in over 10 months. Last time he played was what, June of 2021? So we don't even know what Ben Simmons looks like. James Harden, I mean, he's been playing, but I mean, he hasn't looked the greatest. I expected him to be better. I'll put it to you that way. I had higher expectations, and I think tonight against the Pistons, they lost by about 10 points. James Harden shot 4-for-15 from the field. That can't happen. If you're talking about Philly trying to win a championship. Now, if I had to choose a side, and even before I go on, the press conference was revealed that pretty much Doc Rivers has said, you know, I don't really know if I can, you know, put the blame on the bench. This is Doc Rivers' words, and I'm not quoting him word for word, but it was something along this line. Basically saying he didn't even know if he could put tonight's loss on the bench. He said he thinks, you know, down the stretch, most of the shots were really going to James. James has got to be able to hit some of them shots. I mean, the bench, I mean, like I said, they really didn't even score that much. I think they had two or three players at about 3 points apiece. I mean, so, you know, it's a lot of pressure on the starters. But let me get into this for you. If I had to choose one side, Brooklyn and Philadelphia, who won this trade? Who? I think I'm going to have to say the Nets. Yes, you heard me. The Brooklyn Nets got the better end of the deal. And the reason why I say that is I believe we as Philly fans, myself and every other Philly fan, what we are asking from James Harden is to be close to or beyond what he was in Houston. All right, that's what we're asking of him. And honestly, I'm not confident. I am not confident that James can repeat that. I'm not. We're asking him to be that, and on top of that, a distributor. We want to see him create. We want him to be the point guard. We want to see him create shots for guys like Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris. I don't know if James Harden can do that. And don't get me wrong, I still believe Harden is a star in this league, but I just think that's a lot to put on his shoulders. A lot. And we want him to learn this, what, in essentially 2 months? And we want him to go into April and turn it on like we've been doing this for... I don't know about that. I don't know. I really don't know. I think the other glaring weakness to me, and I kind of just mentioned it to you, about Philadelphia's current roster is the supporting cast. I mean, now, you know, let's face it. The majority, the masses, they know what to expect from guys like Harden and Embiid and you know, like, again, because they're the stars, they're the face of the team. But what about the role players? Matisse Thybulle, Shake Milton, George Niang, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, Furkan Korkmaz, Paul Millsap. This is not a bad group of guys to run with. But is it enough for a chip? Is it enough for a championship? I don't know. I really don't know, because that's what we're talking about here. Is it enough for a chip? I don't know. Now, if you ask me, I know who I believe we should get more from. And I'm going to go Tobias Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, Tobias Harris, his base salary right now for this year is nearly $36 million a year. $36 million a year. You cannot, and I mean it, and I will say it again, you cannot be making that kind of money and only averaging 17.5 points Again, now that might have moved up a little bit. This is what it was a couple days ago, earlier in the week when I looked at it. You cannot be averaging 17 and a half points making that kind of money. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. And I need him, and me personally, I need Tobias Harris in the 20 to 25 point range if Philly is even going to have a chance. If they're even going to have a chance of being a threat in the East, that's where I need Tobias Harris. I love Maxey, but keep in mind, he hasn't been there before. He's talented, don't get me wrong, and I think the ceiling is extremely high for Tyrese Maxey. But like I said before, there's no substitute for experience. Either you've been there or you haven't. And there's just certain things that when you've been there, again, it can't really be taught, but you learn it as you're going through it. You learn it as you're going through it. The role that Tyrese Maxey has this year is completely different from what it was last year playing behind Ben Simmons. I think Maxey is going to need at least one more year. After this year, I think I would love to see what he looks like next season. I think he's going to need at least one more year in the current role that he has for us to really see even more of a breakout and more growth in him. But I mean, he's already grown to exponential levels. But again, the guy has been phenomenal this year. But I think he's going to need another year. I'm looking at Tobias Harris. Now, the reason why I say Ben Simmons and the Nets may have gotten a better end of this deal, is because, let's face it, Ben Simmons' biggest issue in Philly, let's not beat around the bush, was his lack of growth as a player. Every year, we asked him to expand his game. In what aspect? Becoming more comfortable with shooting. And it never happened. Guys, Ben Simmons does not have to shoot in Brooklyn at all. He doesn't have to shoot. He's playing a game of basketball. He doesn't even have to shoot, guys. Really think about that. Ben Simmons does not have to shoot in Brooklyn. He's already a great defender. He's playing with two Hall of Famers in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who all they want to do is score anyway. He's got Seth Curry, Gordon Dragic. Even though he's out this year, next year he'll have a guy like Joe Harris in the corner as well. These are shooters. If Ben Simmons can fix whatever is going on internally and surpass the challenges he's facing, like I said, from an internal aspect, Brooklyn can be a problem, guys. Brooklyn really can be a problem. First thing Simmons has got to do, though, is get out there on the floor. That's the first thing he's got to do. He's got to get out there on the floor. And if he truly does have some kind of obstacles that he's dealing with, you know, again, within the mental health arena, I encourage him to seek all the attention medically that he needs to help, that he needs to get through it. And weather the storm, don't get me wrong, I don't really understand the ins and outs of how those things work, nor do I think I can tell somebody, you know, how to feel about what they're dealing with internally. I am not a medical professional. I did not go to school for that, nor do I understand how that field really works. So again, I think he needs to do, you know, whatever he needs to do from an off the court standpoint. However, I can tell you one of the biggest way to overcome your fears is actually doing what your fear is. So my thing is, if his biggest concern is being out there on the floor, well, I think it would really aid him to just actually get out there and start playing basketball again. If his biggest concern is dealing with the heckling of the fans, the best way he's going to learn how to do that is to actually go out there and start playing and deal with it. Learn how to weather these things in the midst as you're going through it. You got a team that needs you, man. He's got a team that needs him. And it's so crazy. I mean, again, I was thinking this answer through today, man, how I wanted to answer this question. It's crazy that, again, Ben Simmons hasn't even been on the floor yet. James Harden, he's been playing, but I mean, it hasn't really been spectacular. I mean, he looks good. He's had a couple good games here and there. But again, like I said, they're asking so much of James Harden. They want him to be that person he was in Houston. I don't know if James Harden can replicate that, guys. I don't know. And tonight proves it. You can't lose to a team like the Pistons. You can't. So they got the work cut out for them. Both of these teams and the Nets. Kyrie Irving's now back full time. Luckily, things were able to get switched over. I don't think they need Ben Simmons to win a championship, but I just think, Ben, like, why would you not want to be out there, man? And you're out of Philadelphia. You don't even have to put up with the old team that you were a part of, the staff, the management, all that's gone. It's in Philadelphia. You don't even have to worry about it anymore. None of it. Anyway, again, they got their work cut out for them. Moving on. What happened with the Lakers this year? Oh, boy. This is a loaded question. What happened with the Lakers this year? What went wrong? Okay, let me try to break this down piece by piece. And this is kind of what I have for you guys. This is what I was able to put together. Russell Westbrook, on his 13th season, got asked to play a completely different style of basketball this year. Okay? Westbrook has always been the guy to have the ball in his hand. And even more so since Kevin Durant departed from him and left him in 2016 to go to the Warriors. Russell Westbrook has always been a guy who has the ball in his hand. This year, he was asked to play off the ball. That's not who he is. That's not who he is. For the first time, from the time that they had acquired him last season, my thought was they would put the ball in Russell's hands, let him run the offense, let him be the point guard, and have LeBron play off the ball. Let LeBron be on the wing, let LeBron be in the corner. But instead, they did it the other way around. And it's been a disaster. You know, and I think part of it stinks too, because I feel like, you know, as a coaching staff, you know, it's obviously one thing to come out there and win games, but I also feel like the coaching staff, you also have the responsibility of putting your players in the right place to shine. That doesn't make Russell Westbrook look good. You know, and I know he's never been the greatest shooter, but again, knowing he hasn't been the greatest shooter, why would you have him stand on the baseline trying to shoot threes in the corner and hitting the side of the backboard? I mean, bricking up. I mean, that's just like, you know, why would you do that to him? You know, so I don't know. I really didn't like that decision making. I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. AD can't stay healthy, which is not new. We know that this is pretty much who he is. He just, you know, he's just always hurt. There's really no other way to put it. He's always hurt. They couldn't defend this year. Lack of effort. They struggled with maintaining leads or closing out games. They just didn't have it. You know, now they're obviously, you know, they're occupying that 10th spot right now in the West. You know, and there's a part of me that's shocked, but I guess the other part of me is not. And why not? If you're wondering, why am I not shocked? Well, I look at the way the roster was constructed. This was not a winning roster. It wasn't. It's funny. I think about my guy, Gary. We grew up in high school, and we were actually coached by Purvis Ellis in my final year of high school there. And Purvis used to always say to us, you know, you can tell, you know, great players, he said, because they come from a winning program. And me and Gary used to always joke about that in terms of, you know, guys coming from a winning program. This was not a winning program. This was not a winning team that they set up here in L.A. Not at all. Not at all. You know, and I believe you can't even get, I'm not even jumping on the bandwagon of the, oh, the roster is too old kind of thing. You know, I believe guys like Mel and Dwight Howard, like Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard, they gave you pretty much all they could and what you would expect for them at this age and in this standpoint in their careers. You know, I can't even get mad at them. The only thing is, to have all these guys in the same team right now, to me, was just not wise. DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron, AD, Rajon Rondo. Don't forget, Rondo was there at the beginning of the year. Now he's in Cleveland. But I don't think, you know, this was not it. You know, and I said it from the beginning. This was my biggest feeling from the beginning. I never said it was going to work. I never said LA was a championship team. I never said any of that. My words were, it would be an experiment. It would be an experiment. And so far, here we are, less than 10 games away from the season ending. Moral of the story is, it hasn't worked. Hasn't worked. Let's get on over to crunch time. All right, welcome on into crunch time, guys. Let's go ahead and get right on into it. Which two teams have surprised you the most this season? Okay, for me, I got to go. So I'll give you one team from the West, one team from the East. For me, I have to go with the Chicago Bulls. I didn't expect them to be this good. I think, you know, from some of the injuries that they suffered earlier, you know, throughout this year, to guys like Patrick Williams. We know Zach LaVine has kind of been in and out, dealing with some knee soreness. Alex Caruso. And don't even get me started on how great DeMar DeRozan has been. He just had a 50-point game tonight, too. I don't know if you guys saw it. Just had a 50-point game against the Clippers. Okay? He's been nothing short of amazing this season. My second team I'm going with is the Memphis Grizzlies. They're currently seated second in the West right now. Ja Morant has been excellent in terms of what he's been doing as a leader on the floor and also in the locker room. They're a young team. They're hungry. And I believe they got something to prove. So these are my two teams that have shocked me the most. I'm going with the Bulls. I'm going with Memphis. I know Memphis had a good start, had a good run in the playoffs last year, but I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this year coming. So I got to give them the credit where it is due. Moving on. More impressive season so far between the Raptors, the Clippers, Timberwolves, and the Cavs. Okay, so this was a tough one for me. I'd say initially it was a tie between Cleveland and the Clippers, but ultimately I'm going with the Clippers. This team sits eighth in the West, and what Ty Lue has done to me, what Ty Lue has done with these teams without their two stars in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to me is just phenomenal. They've been getting it done all season long, and to me, I've been impressed. I've been impressed. Now, we know Paul George just came back this week, and he looked great in his first game back. I mean, he had more than 30 points. I can't remember who it was that they took on, but he did look great. I did watch him play. I was very impressed. So, I mean, I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I'm pretty sure they'll make a little bit of noise coming into the playoffs. What's the expectation of how far they go? I really don't know. I mean, but let's face it. This is a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year. So we'll see. I don't really see them getting back there. But, hey, again, this is the NBA, man. This is pros. Anything can happen. Moving on. Finally, have the Boston Celtics moved on from the concern that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can't play together? For me on this one, I cannot definitively say yes or no. I think right now we'll say yes because of the fact that they're in contention for a top seed in the East. But part of that is, you know, part of the reason as to how they've been able to turn things around is on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, they have just been heckling teams on that defensive end. I mean, suffocating the offense we've pretty much all their opponents. So, I mean, I think that really has kind of aided into some of their success so far. I mean, hey, playoffs are just 2 weeks away. We'll see. Have they silenced all the noise on the fact that they can't play together? We'll see. All right, guys, we're moving on here to our final segment, the line segment. This is one of my favorites, and I really love this. This is really one of my favorites. So I've gone with the subtitle of Planting the Seed. All right, that's what I'm calling it, Planting the Seed. So check out this sound first. I want you guys to hear this sound. This is Angel McCaftry from the Minnesota Lynx, the WNBA team. Check out this sound from her.
You know, a lot of people say, well, nothing's changing. What is this going to do? And I always tell people, we're planting the seed. You know, we know that change doesn't happen tomorrow, you know, but we plant the seeds for a better future.
Okay, so I actually got this sound from an ESPN documentary that aired last year in May, which really highlighted what the 2020 playoff bubble experience was like for the ladies in the WNBA. Remember, times were heated. Times were heated, emotions were high. There was a lot of frustration going on, especially in the area of racism and injustices. And most obviously, the pandemic had just begun. So this is kind of where we were at, you know, in 2020 when all this stuff was going on, when they were recording this. There was a lot going on with the WNBA players. And much like many other athletes, they took it upon themselves to make their voices heard by using their current platforms as major public figures in our society. So let's go back to the quote for a second. Think about what she was saying. Planting seeds for a better future. Although others may question, you know, was it even worth it? Was it even worth it? They continued to plant seeds for what they believe would be a better future. They continued to plant the seed. Before I even get to you guys, I know I can relate to what she's saying for myself. I can relate. You know, and I think for me, like, there's some moments I've even faced doubt, you know, on whether planting seeds or taking the initiative, trying to make change happen. Was it even worth it? Is it even worth it? You know, we could even relate this to our dreams, our passions. Have you guys ever doubted taking the first step because it appeared to you that in that moment, you know, you may not get the result that you wanted? I think one thing I'm learning in life is that it truly is about perseverance. I can't say that I even say that from a place of, you know, perfection on this. And I know I really try to hit that for you guys each and every time I'm back on here, because I think sometimes some of you that hear my voice, you may think that life is all made and life is all clean and easy for me, and it's not. I've had my struggles. I've had my encounters that, you know, that have been uncomfortable. I got to keep it real with you guys. You know, I've had my shortcomings. I've had moments where I wanted to quit because that looked like the easier decision in the moment. But what would that solve? What would it solve? For anyone's achievements that we celebrate, anyone's achievements, you know, when you think about guys like Dr. Martin Luther King, Florence Nightingale, Lance Armstrong, Michael Jordan, it's not because they did nothing. We remember them because they were excellent. They were courageous. They took the first step, or they mastered their craft. You know, if you're faced with fear, don't feel bad. We're human. These things happen, but don't stay there. Stand up. Dust yourself off. Keep walking. If you made a mistake, learn from it. Learn from it. Learn from it. Learn from it. And then keep going. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it to be. That's okay. Tomorrow's another day. You don't feel your best today? Keep pushing. That's it. Plant the seed. Take the initiative. Keep pushing. And I hope you guys were able to take something from this today. It is always a pleasure to be back on here with you. Again, I'm your host, Biodita. I got to get up out of here, guys, but I'll talk to you soon. Take care.